An American classic written by one of America's greatest authors, The Great Gatsby, was published on this day in 1925. Even though readers today still buy 500,000 copies of The Great Gatsby every year, and it's sold over 25 million copies, been made into a movie 5 times, F. Scott Fitzgerald went to his grave thinking he had written a flop. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is here with more on the tortured life of F. Scott Fitzgerald, or as you say, the publication of The Great Gatsby, A Rhapsody in Gin. Mm-hmm. So this
that was
is
his favorite.
His favorite tipple.
Yeah.
Now, you've taught Fitzgerald to your students for a long time. Why is that?
Because if you want a case history of alcoholism and what it can do and the progressive path untreated to death, you could not find a better case than Fitzgerald, nor a more beautifully documented case, because Fitzgerald wrote so wonderfully.
And spoiler alert, everybody, he dropped out of a heart attack at age 44. So let's talk about, it seems that should not have been a surprise. You call him a badly recovering alcoholic.
Yeah, he quit 100 times or more, quit every day, actually. And he was in Hollywood trying to make it as a screenwriter. Now, imagine Fitzgerald wrote these wonderful, lush sentences, and writing movies is exactly the opposite. Mm. And so he had a hard time succeeding as such. And of course, his drinking cost him several jobs as well. But he had literally drank and smoked himself into death, and he died of a heart attack. He had cardiomyopathy, or a big, swollen, floppy heart. Mm. He had terrible coronary arteries that were plugged up with cholesterol. He died at a much younger age than he should have.
His heavy drinking started at a tender age, and there was a family history.
Yeah. By the time he was at Princeton as an undergraduate, he was already drinking too much. And he basically spun that roulette wheel of bad fortune and came up with bad numbers each time. So he had a strong family history. His father was an alcoholic. And there were other relatives who were alcoholics. He talked about having a very small ego. He was he felt insecure in front of others. He had some psychological trauma. All you have to do is say the word Zelda. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the most traumatic marriage in the history of American literature. And he just didn't do very well with alcohol. And he also got drunk very easily. And he also liked to exaggerate his drinking symptoms and would get into fights. He'd throw things at people. He'd land in jail. He'd get beaten up. And he did this all along the Eastern Seaboard and in many parts of Europe.
What would be a typical day's drinking for F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Well, my favorite story is when he is in Hollywood. He had a young secretary named Frances Kroll, and she would take dictation for him. But her first job when she came in the morning was to take a burlap bag filled with empty gin bottles and drive them far away from where Fitzgerald was living so no one would know how much he was drinking. Some days he said, I drank 30 beers. And he was proud of that because he wasn't drinking the hard stuff. He drank quite a bit. And then he went through periods where he didn't drink as well. Some of those periods, when he was, for example, at MGM, he was drinking 30 or 40 bottles of Coca-Cola and eating candy bars and homemade fudge, because recovering alcoholics in their early phase of quitting or going on the wagon, they like to have sugar. And so he would do that to compensate for the sugar he was missing by not drinking the booze.
And when he did die, what exactly happened?
Well, he was in his apartment. He had a girlfriend, Sheila Graham, who was the famous gossip columnist. Zelda was by then in an insane asylum.
Yes.
And he had had chest pain the night before. They went to a movie premiere, and he said, I'll get it checked the next day. And, of course, he did not, and he had his fatal heart attack. At his funeral, or his wake, he had the finest morticians powder him up and dye his hair and put makeup to obscure the wrinkles on his face. Mm. Because if you see the photographs of Fitzgerald at the end of his life, he looks like an old man. My favorite part of the wake was the great Algonquin wit, poet, and quite a drunk in her own right, Dorothy Parker, who was also a screenwriter.
Yes.
And both loved Scott Fitzgerald's work and often called him a horse's ass for his drunken behavior. But she looked over him and said, the poor son of a bitch. And when that got out, people thought it was Dorothy Parker being Dorothy Parker. But actually, it's what Owl Eyes says at the end of Great Gatsby, looking over Gatsby's dead body. She was quoting Fitzgerald.
She was indeed. And when he died, by then, Great Gatsby had pretty much withered on the vine, hadn't it?
It was out of print. And he literally went to his grave thinking he was a failure. So his old chum and sometimes archenemy, Ernest Hemingway, was, you know, on the ascent. And Fitzgerald was barely read by anybody. It wasn't until the 1950s, there was a big biography of him that came out at that time. And then more and more people began to read him. And then, thank goodness, we all read him now.
You've got to wonder what might have happened if he'd been able to conquer those demons.
There probably would have been some more better novels. And the one that's unfinished, The Last Tycoon, which was about Hollywood, it's quite a good book in its own right, but I sure would like to have read it in its finished form.
University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell, as we mark the anniversary of the publication of The Great Gatsby by the very troubled and tortured F. Scott Fitzgerald. Thanks so much.
Thank you.